You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Amos for Me. Topic, Amos speaks to the Christian nation. Amos for Me. I do not know about you, but my week has been one with ups and downs. Dear friends have been struggling with health, but hallelujah, their hope is in the Lord Adonai. Yes, I never thought I would say this, but a visit to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service has been a wonderful, fast, and positive experience, with an opportunity to share with a fellow Holy Spirit-filled believer. My beloved canned more of our special DeRuiter's Tejana Texas Barbecue sauce, and we finished putting the living room back together again. All in all, it has been a great week. But now, what now? I praise Him in the morning, I praise Him in the evening, I praise Him when in the valley and when on the mountaintop. But is this indeed true? Or do we, or better yet, do I forget this sometimes? I know that today's topic was on the Ten Commandments, and part of the two commandments discussed was concerning lying. Yes, Lord, I praise you, just not saying when and how much. Yes, Lord, I come to you in prayer, just not saying when and how much. So then, is this a lie? You know, the one we make up not to hurt people. Oh, a white lie? It is the disappearing morals that accept this as being the norm. Can you imagine a lie as the norm? Politically correct, yes. Godly, definitely not. I keep on hammering on it so much that by now, this is not a dead cow, but more a hole-punch steak, run over and pulled through the ringer. But you know, it all started when we took prayer out of schools, and Bible reading, and even just the mention of God. Now, a Pew Research poll from July 2, 2013 states that about half of Americans say the growing number of people who are not religious is bad for American society, but a similar share say either that this trend is good or that it does not make much difference. Pew Research, July 2, 2013. This poll states that there has been a modest uptick over the past decade in the share of U.S. adults who say they seldom or never attend religious services. The number of Americans who do not identify with any religion also has grown in recent years. Indeed, about one-fifth of the public overall and a third of adults under age 30 are religiously unaffiliated as of 2012. Fully a third of U.S. adults say they do not consider themselves a religious person. And two-thirds of Americans, affiliated and unaffiliated alike, say religion is losing its influence in Americans' lives. Pew Research, July 2, 2013. Okay, do you see it too? Those adults up to 30 years old are those who have not received any religious education, or they at least should have had the possibility to choose this as an elective. The result is that 2% of the people do not have an opinion at all. 11% of the people say it is a good thing that religion is disappearing from American life. According to 39%, it just does not matter, and only 48% say it is a bad thing. What is also shocking, but no surprise to me at all, is that members of all the major U.S. religious groups, with large enough samples for analysis, are more inclined to see this development as a bad rather than good thing for society. White evangelical Protestants are especially likely to say the growing number of people who are not religious is a bad thing, with nearly 8 in 10, 78%, holding this view. Pew Research, July 2, 2013. We see in this poll that the churches they call the white evangelical Protestants and the black Protestant churches, which we know include the Holy Spirit-filled denominations, hold this opinion that this is a bad trend, with 78 and respectively 64%. The biggest rise of more than 55% in the does not care type of churches is in the branch that call themselves unaffiliated with anything, which in my opinion means the postmodern churches that do not teach any of the morals of God. Jesus saves, and that is it. Exactly the same numbers we see coming back in church attendance, which is not that weird, do you think? Why is it that more and more home churches and small group ministries are being started, and more cathedrals and big churches are sounding more and more hollow due to lower attendance? What really shocked me, though, were the margins of error given by religious affiliation, or in other words, the truth-o-meter of the denominations. The percentage of error, or shall we just say, the amount of lying by denomination: Protestant plus or minus 3%, Catholic plus or minus 4.2%, unaffiliated plus or minus 4.8%. Okay, what is happening, Lord? I had a good week, and now I am stuck. Where are we going with this? Okay, I know. The world needs you. It was Minister Reed who started something off. Yes, you know, it happens. She is the one who sometimes has those questions that make me say, ooey. This week, a lot of time has been spent compiling a document of what I call my theology. What is it that I stand for? What is it that I believe? Many of these thoughts you can find in our founding documents, our statement of faith, and all the like, but much needed to be written and compiled from all kinds of sources. What is the case is that for so many people, they do not know what they believe anymore. They do not know what it is to have a religion to hold on to. For them, religion is an institution. Are you religious? The answer for many then is yes, I am, I go to church. Okay, that was in Minister Reed's case, not a satisfactory answer. She never accepts that from me. When people see a picture of me, they see me with a kippah, or yarmulke, or with a tallit, or the two candles, or the flag of Israel in the background. Is your pastor a Jew? Oh no, but what about that head thing, etc., etc.? What is a messianic? What is a tallit? What about this? What about that? Yes, my friends, it is almost done. It is almost 100 pages, but it is ready for review. So what is it that is your theology? When you are a preacher, what do you stand for? What do you preach? When you are a church attender, what is it that you believe? What is it that guides you? Whose morals do you follow? It seems to me that, according to the Pew Research poll, more and more people really do not give a hoot. What is wrong with our society? When a loner on psyche-altering drugs shoots up the Navy Yard, politicians are jumping up, pushing their political agenda. When the same amount or more people are shot in a Chicago park, oh, it is just another Chicago shooting. Society does not know right from wrong anymore, and the lines drawn in the sand are disappearing each and every day. Instead of a dose of hard work and biblical morality, we provide our children with television, Game Boy, or some more mind-altering drugs. It has been a while, I know, since I have been on a rant like this, I know. But you know what? It seems to be needed. We are not a church that says that all and everything is okay. Why? Because, my friends, God does not say it is okay. We cannot just sit down and do absolutely nothing. We just cannot let our country go to hell. I cannot say I need you to do something about it, but God can. He needs you and me to make a difference in this world. We see more and more crime on television and hear it on the radio. The media is so much faster. Crime is again at the same level as it was in 1963, according to the Christian Science Monitor, due to increased incarceration, including longer sentences that keeps more criminals off the streets. Improved law enforcement strategies, including advances in computer analysis and innovative technology. The waning of the crack cocaine epidemic that soared from 1984 to 1990, which made cocaine cheaply available in cities across the U.S. The graying of America, characterized by the fastest growing segment of the U.S. population, baby boomers passing the age of 50. CSM Daniel B. Wood, staff writer / January 9th, 2012. So it took 50 years, lots of technology and harsher punishments, which means also way more costs to offset one thing that is so much more simplistic and cheaper: Christian education in the public school. Can you imagine how low the crime rate would have been in 1963 if all the technology and laws we have now had been in place? So then, does all this shock you? Yes and no. I can imagine it. We are slowly but surely numbed and dumbed down to all violence and manipulation. It is hard to know what the truth is and what is indeed going on in our society. People are completely inundated with news from all directions: television, radio, magazine and paper, Twitter, Facebook, news aggregation sites like Drudge, The Huffington Post, and the like. It comes in from all directions, and not just at 6, 8, or 10 p.m. No, every moment of the day. Smartphones are on day and night, and every time someone thinks there is an important news update, the alarm goes off. I will not say that with us, the people of the church, those who are in this hearing, but for a majority of people, the most important news does not fit within this way of life. This most important news is the love of God, His directions, His motivations for us, His gentle push, His encouragement, and yes, indeed, also His correction. I know that most of us read a daily devotional or scripture each and every day. We pray and communicate with God throughout the day and are eager to come together to hear more about Him and to praise His holy name. So let us take all this information and place it on the back burner so that we can look at this with the Word of God in front of our eyes. This is a call for America, and not truly just America. It is a call to all the so-called Christian nations. As Christians, we know, as we pray, Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As it goes with Israel, it goes with the Christian nation. Thus, we also learn from its warnings and the history of God, with the words of the prophet Amos. The Song of Lament, Amos chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, Amplified Bible. Hear this word, which I take up concerning you in lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She shall no more rise. She lies cast down and forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went forth 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went forth 100 shall have 10 left, to the house of Israel. The words of encouragement. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me, inquire for and of me, and require me as you require food, and you shall live. But seek not the golden calf at Bethel, nor enter into idolatrous Gilgal, and pass not over to the idols of Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity and exile, and Bethel, house of God, shall become Beth Aven, house of vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and come to nothing. Seek the Lord, inquire for and of Him, and require Him, and you shall live, lest He rush down like fire upon the house of Joseph, representing the 10 tribes, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel, the center of their idle hopes. The prophet tells us, "Hear this, O Christian nation, the funeral song I bring to you. You are certainly no virgin, pure and untouched. You are defiled and impure. There is no way for you to ever become pure again. The righteous ones, the saints of God, have become less and less. Search for me, long for me, in the same way as you are in need of food and water, and you shall have life. Do not try to find me in the idols that you had before your acceptance of salvation, because when you try to bring those idols with you into Beth-El, the temple, the church, the synagogue, it will be a house of vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and it will be and do nothing for you. Seek me, your Abba, your God. Yes, you know me. I am YHWH, Jehovah, God the Father. Seek me, ask my help, my insight, my guidance, and you shall have life. Otherwise, your people and your church will burn out like a candle, with nothing left." Amos chapter 5, verses 7 through 15. Common English Bible. Words of doom. Doom to you who turn justice into poison and throw righteousness to the ground. The one who made the Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night. Who summons the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. This one's name is the Lord, who causes destruction to flash out against the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who judges at the city gate, and they reject the one who speaks the truth. Truly, because you crush the weak, and because you tax their grain, you have built houses of carved stone, but you will not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you will not drink their wine. I know how many are your crimes, and how numerous are your sins, afflicting the righteous, taking money on the side, turning away the poor who seek help. Therefore, the one who is wise will keep silent in that time. It is an evil time. Words of inspiration. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of heavenly forces, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice at the city gate. Perhaps the Lord God of heavenly forces will be gracious to what is left of Joseph. Therefore the Lord says to those who are turning my justice, my truth, into something that it is not, dark, painful, bitter, and are throwing my righteousness to the ground like it is nothing. Seek me out, says the Lord. I am the one who created the planets and separated the night from the day and the seas from the land. I am the Lord. It is I who bring total destruction upon those that call themselves the strong and destroy their strongholds. It is they that hate those that see the truth and speak out about the judgment upon the city. It is they that hate those who speak the truth, God's truth. It is the truth, because you have taken the last from those who already have almost nothing in riches, willpower, and strength, because you have built your houses and your businesses not to live in and work with, but just to have more. I said, "The Lord, I know how many crimes you have committed, and how numerous your sins are that are hurting the people who are righteous, and then still taking in more money and bribes, while at the same time you send away those in need. Therefore, my friends, those that have found wisdom, those that are wise, they know when to speak up, but especially they know when to stay quiet. It is a bad time. Then seek out the good. Stay strong in faith, and do not give in to the world and its evil, so that you shall have life. Hate that which is bad, evil, from the world, controlled by the devil himself. in all that you do, make sure that it is done in the truth and justice of the Lord our Father. Then who knows, maybe the Lord will hold back the destruction the heavenly forces will bring and extend grace to our Christian nation. But now, my friends, it truly comes the oh my section that truly nobody wants to hear. It is the anticipation of the punishment of God. But why the anticipation? I think this is because even those who say they do not believe in God know and understand that this pain will come from Him. Amos chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, Common English Bible. Divine wrath anticipated. Truly, the Lord proclaims, the God of heavenly forces, the Lord. Crying will be heard in all the squares. In all the streets, they will say, "Oh no, oh no." They will call upon the farmers to wail, and those skilled in mourning to lament. In all the vineyards, there will be bitter crying, because I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Because of all of this, says God, our Lord, the King of kings, and the host of all hosts, there shall be crying in all the streets and on the highways, and everywhere you will hear it. Oh no! Oh no! And they will ask others even to cry with them, because the Lord will go, just as in Egypt, come and go through your midst again. Remember the crying in Egypt. Most people think they are okay with God. It is the other person, the non-believer, who should be worried. Some apparently think that they will do okay and are just fine on the day of the Eternal One, a day when God will judge sin and defeat His enemies. Ironically, God's own people have become His enemies. So Amos warns the Christian nation that the day of the Eternal One will bring a big surprise to those who think they are in good standing with God. It will be a day of darkness, not light, a day from which there will be no escape. Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. The Voice. A statement of divine disgust. How horrible for you who look forward to the day of the Eternal One. Why do you want it to come? For you, its arrival will mean darkness, not light. It will be as if you were to escape from a lion, only to run headlong into a bear, as if you ran into a house to hide, leaned against the wall to rest, and a poisonous snake latched onto your hand. Will not the day of the Eternal One be darkness, instead of light, pitch black, without even a hint of brightness? God now continues to say, Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 27, Amplified Bible. I hate, I despise your feasts, and I will not smell a savor or take delight in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me your burnt offerings and your cereal offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I look upon the peace or thank offerings of your fatted beasts. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice run down like waters, and righteousness as a mighty and ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and cereal offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No, but instead of bringing me the appointed sacrifices, you carried about the tent of your king Succoth and Kaiwan, names for the gods of the planet Saturn, your images of your star god, which you made for yourselves, and you will do so again. Therefore, I will cause you to go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. When there is no true repentance of our sin, and we are just coming to church to be in church, or the temple, the synagogue, or the chapel, then it is just that, a coming together and nothing else. God is not served by it, He is not blessed by it, and with the words of Amos, He is certainly not pleased with it. Verse 21. When we offer up our praises to the Lord, and it is just music, it is just singing, or clapping, or sound, it is not an offering, nor is it anything pleasant. It is just another feel-good drug. Let the lights dim, the hall lights go on, and the music fade. Let all be stripped away until it is just you and God. Say it with me. Me and God, nothing else. Were you presenting me your offerings of praise and worship during the bad times? Were you offering to me your praises and your worship during pain and sickness, hardship and anguish, your 40 years in the desert? No, no, and no. And that, my friends, is why you are entering a period of darkness, a time of exile beyond Damascus. Oh my, my, my friends, let us go back to those words of inspiration. Amos chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Common English Bible. Words of inspiration. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of heavenly forces, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice at the city gate. Perhaps the Lord God of heavenly forces will be gracious to what is left of Joseph. Perhaps the Lord will be gracious to what is left of this country, our house, our families, our lives. Going back to the beginning of this message, how is it with you? In good times or in bad times? The message of Amos is not merely an ancient cry over Israel's failure. It is a living trumpet blast to every people that names the name of God while neglecting His truth, justice, and holiness. In a messianic understanding, this hits even deeper because we know that covenant language is never cheap language. The Holy One of Israel does not call His people to empty ritual, but to a life of faithful obedience, clean hands, and hearts turned toward Him. That is why the warning of Amos remains so piercing for the Christian nation, for the local congregation, and for the individual believer. The call is not first to politics, outrage, or cultural complaining. The call is to return. The call is to teshuvah, to repentance, to turning back with the whole heart. The prophet says, "Seek me and live." And that call still echoes through Messiah Yeshua today. The same Lord who warns is the same Lord who extends mercy. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, King James Version says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." That is not a slogan. That is a holy invitation. For the messianic believer and for every Bible-believing Christian, this means that revival begins at the house, at the table, in prayer, in worship, in scripture, in truth-telling, in justice, and in covenant faithfulness. It means that Yeshua is not looking for noise. He is looking for surrender. He is not seeking performance. He is seeking a yielded life. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, King James Version, says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." That is the voice of our risen Messiah to His people. So let this not end as a warning only. Let it end as a holy summons. Let every father, every mother, every pastor, every elder, every young person, and every saint say before God, "We shall not bow to the idols of the age. We shall not trade truth for comfort, and we shall not give our children stones where they need bread." Let us rise again in the fear of the Lord, in the love of truth, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you praying for your country, your president, your king, your leadership? Are you praying that he or she receives a heart that is turned to God and not to the world? Are you participating with your city leadership, the school board hearings, or in other words, are you participating while you sit in the city gates, or do you just leave that to others? Let us learn from our history and hear the words of Amos, not just to Israel, but for this time, to all the Christian nations. Changing the world starts at your own home. Sitting at the city gate may just as well be sitting in your own doorway. Let me say it with First Lady Wilma, because for us, this is so true, and it is also so very important to both of us. There is no question, because for us, it is this, and let us say it boldly, not as a slogan, but as a covenant confession. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, King James Version, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.